Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord, in person and online. Would you like to repeat the year 2020? Didn't hesitate on that answer. Perhaps we would if that were a terrific year, and especially if the current year were not so great, but 2021 has not been so great either, for additional reasons other than the virus. So there's really no going back. We can learn from the past, but life is really about living in the present while moving forward at the same time. And Jesus wants us to keep that in mind when it comes to all aspects of our life, including worship. Pastors, musicians, traditions come and go. Yet what remains is why we are really to be here. And that is the Word of God taught in its truth and purity. We hear again today what happens when we forget that. So, God help us move forward and to continue to celebrate what we have right in front of us so that we can move forward in Him to something better. Blessings on your worship this morning. The bulletin is found, if you're watching online, under the Staying Connected link on our website. If you receive our weekly email, it's also found there, a link to the bulletin. Invite your attention now to page 3 as we continue with our invocation and greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns in your face for the courts of the Lord.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
O Lord Almighty, blessed are they.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Let us worship Him,
the Lamb.
Please, God, please, God.
stand. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sin. And trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Jesus Christ, preserve the congregation of believers with your never-failing mercy. Help us avoid whatever is wicked and harmful, and guide us in the way that leads to our salvation.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. We're at the 15th Sunday after Pentecost, and a reading from Holy Scripture on this Sunday comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, pointing out the fact that the problem is not with the Bible. It is perfect just the way it is. The problem, rather, is with us. God help us recognize that and give careful attention to his perfect word. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children, and to their children after them. The word of the Lord. We turn to our psalm for today, Psalm 118. We'll sing it as noted. The vocalist will sing the refrain through once. Then we'll join in singing that refrain. The vocalist will sing the verses, and we'll join in the glory be to the Father and the remaining refrains. Believers having knowledge of the Word of God and yet fail consistently to do and live as that word of God says. If that's you, well, these words are for you. A reading from Holy Scripture, James chapter 1. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The word of the Lord. Stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus speaks contrary to human opinion on so many matters, and specifically in this reading, when it comes to tradition and also the human thought that people are good in and of themselves. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, do they not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions.'" Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, It is what comes out of a person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day, O God, my faithful God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance. And this is possible from God our Father through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus our attention on the gospel reading for today. We hear once again these words from Mark chapter 7. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and a meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us to live not in the past, but in the present with an eye on the future. Whoever came up with the idea of excuse making is a genius, don't you think? Excuse making has become a national pastime. Think about it. Think of all the excuses we can come up with for various situations. Work, for example. I can't come into work today because cough. But the golf course sure was fun. Or when it comes to homework, the classic excuse when most of us were growing up, the dog ate my homework. Today, it's lost in the cloud. Or when it comes to church, I had a late night last night. My alarm didn't go off. I'll go next week. It's my only day off during the week. I got these great tickets on the 50-yard line. Mom and Dad shoved religion down my throat as a kid. You know, there are hypocrites in church. She didn't say hi to me last week. Oh my goodness. We could spend hours, couldn't we? Coming up with excuses that we have heard or maybe even used ourselves when it comes to not giving our attention to the Word of God with fellow believers here in the house of the Lord. For those excuse makers, and we have to admit that's each and every one of us, Jesus has words to say. He starts out with a word of encouragement, and that is, hold on to God's word. Not getting caught up in traditions and in excuses, but rather keeping the focus where it needs to be on Christ. Not getting caught up in traditions and excuses. You know who was good at that? The Pharisees of Jesus' day. The religious leaders who should have known better. Who claimed to have a knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. And who indeed should have recognized the Messiah of all people when he was standing there right in front of them. Standing there as promised. Not to burden people's consciences with demands of the law, but to free them from those demands. Yes, keep the law, but not because you have to, but out of love for God. And really, it was always to be that way. But the Pharisees hijacked the law of God. Hijacked it to the point that the law of God, the commands which Moses gave to the people, as mentioned in Deuteronomy, were lost in the background. What took its place were the man-made rules and regulations, over 600 rules and regulations. And Jesus even called out the Pharisees at one time and saying, you burden the consciences of people with all these human rules and regulations, which you yourself probably don't even remember and don't even know except for when it's convenient. By all their human traditions, they were only adding guilt upon guilt. And we people can come up with enough guilt on ourselves. We don't need others to keep adding to it. Especially when it's not warranted on human tradition. What else was being lost, and why Jesus needed to call them out on it, is that they were not focusing the people's attention on Jesus for who he is. Rather, they were missing the mark. And so instead of looking at Jesus as the Savior who came to free them from the obligations of the law, they kept putting obligations on them, obligations that weren't necessary. For example, going up to Jesus with a gotcha moment, so they thought, your disciples are eating this food with unwashed hands. It's tradition, not God's tradition. It's human tradition that one needs to wash with a fistful of water up to the wrist before you eat any food. Makes sense, good intentions, but they made it a law. And if you ate with unclean hands, according to them, big mistake. Actually, the mistake was on them. And Jesus needed to call them out on that. By their human traditions, the Pharisees thought this gave them the right to look down on others who did not keep the traditions as they did. But as noted, Jesus pointed out, you hypocrites, you whitewashed tombs, you don't even keep your traditions. And yet you bind the consciences of others. He pointed out that they were lacking humility and their pride was misplaced. It was not like the Apostle Paul who said, let us not boast in ourselves, but rather boast in the cross of Christ. They rather liked to boast about themselves. Remember the Pharisee in his prayer? God, I thank you. I'm not like these hypocrites who don't wash before they eat. I do way above and beyond what the law says. You know, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I give, even though it's not required. God, you surely got to look at me because I do all these human things that I came up with to make me self-righteous. And God says, that's all you are, self-righteous. Don't expect a place in my heaven. I want you there, but not with your false humility. You won't get there. Mixed messages. Do we send any today? Do we have any traditions that are human and which we obligate people to follow? And add more guilt to guilt that people lose the focus on Christ for their salvation? In the church, for example, do we have to stand for the gospel reading? Does God anywhere in the Bible say, you must stand? Now, by saying this, I'm not knocking the tradition. But for those who have told me, how dare you not allow us to stand for the gospel reading, take it up with your Lord before he comes to judge. Do we have to sing hymns only from the 17th century? Does God anywhere say that in the Bible? Again, not knocking that music. Does pastor have to wear an alb? Where in Scripture does God say pastors need to be an alb? I say this, dear friends, out of love. Maybe we need to enforce what we do for coaching. 24-hour rule. You got a problem with the coach? Wait 24 hours. You got a problem with me? You can say it, but maybe just wait and not in the greeting line. Sorry. Do we allow our traditions to make us self-righteous and think that we are better Christians because we do this or that? And then when people come in who are not familiar with tradition, do they get more caught up in the tradition and scratch their heads, or do they see Christ when they come here? Thankfully, the Holy Spirit can work through and despite us. Good intentions. And yet it's just an opportunity for us to think through what we do and why we do it. In the home. Are there traditions in the home that maybe have caused a divide in the family? There's a reason why Jesus says to married couples, leave and cleave. Let them start their new traditions. But do we burden the consciences of a young couple in saying, this Thanksgiving or whatever, it has to be this way? Can't they establish their new traditions? Again, not knocking it, not knocking family. But can we think, and this is for me too, can we think through what we say and perhaps the harm we are causing and the missing of the growth for that young couple by insisting that things have to be done as they've always been done? Because maybe the way they've always been done is not necessarily the best. Are we more concerned about my feelings or about glorifying Christ in all that we say and do, in the church, in the home, in the community. Jesus needs to call us out too, and not just here, and not just us who are gathered here in person or online, but all the whole Christian church, those who claim to follow Christ and yet continually put stumbling block after stumbling block in front of people's way. The Lord said this through the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Had nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Again, Paul, as with Jesus, is not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater or show disrespect to the ways things have been done. Receive all in thanksgiving. Give thanks for the blessing of variety that we can offer, keeping the focus on Christ. Because again, not only were the Pharisees misleading the people in their traditions, they also were misleading the people when it came to sin and the source of sin. Jesus pointed out it's not what's on the outside that makes you not able to stand before God and makes you a sinner. It's what already is in the heart. Adam was the first excuse maker and got pretty good at it. And because of inherited sin, we get pretty good at it too. It's within each one of us. So again, should we really be surprised at what people are capable of doing as we hear about in the news? Even good friends, I would never think of that. Really? We're all capable, and pushed in the right environment, we can do some evil things. Not excuse, just understanding why and how. Sin comes naturally to us. Too naturally to us. And thus, we need to keep focused on Christ to help push back that old Adam, which wants to continually pop up day after day. You know, sometimes we hear on the news as a child is, not a child, a young man is being hauled off in handcuffs. My child would never do such a thing. Good child, even though the video shows breaking the law. The devil made me do it. Or God made me that way. Another excuse, right? Don't try to pass the buck. God did not make us sinful. God does not lead us into sin. He knows we're capable of sin in thought, word, and deed. And so he has provided a way to deal with sin. He points out to the Pharisees that the sin is all around us, and it's evident not from outside dirt, but from the heart when he says, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. And then show himself in sexual morality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So Pharisees, then and today, you can't rely on yourself to get right with God, because look what you start with. We need then what God has given us in Christ Jesus. And so the reminder to keep focused on Christ, not the traditions, not the excuses, but on Christ, who came and lived the perfect life that we are to live, who did not allow anger or resentment to get the best of him, but from the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And then also from the cross said, it is finished. Sin has been paid for, Father. They are indeed redeemed. That's you and me, redeemed, forgiven. Not to live in Traditionville, not to live in Excuseville, but to live in Christville, today and tomorrow and forever. To live in his righteousness, to promote his righteousness in the meantime. We are reminded through the scriptures to continually focus on the one thing needful, and that is Christ. He is the one who is to dictate our actions, whether we are kind or compassionate or patient or forgiving. There's no condition on those verses in the Bible. Be kind, be compassionate, not if you are shown such, but because you have been shown such by God Almighty through Christ Jesus. On our own, we can take God's commands too far. Keeping the focus on Christ, we pray to avoid that. To remove barriers to helping people see Christ for who he is, the Savior. So, dear friends, what is standing in your way of holding purely on to Christ and on to the Word of God? What are we putting in the way of others to do the same? We ask God to help us sort it out, and he will, through his word. So let's keep holding on to his word, and where that word puts our focus on Christ and what he has done. Take some time in the upcoming week to encourage someone to do just that. No excuses. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our living Savior. Amen. We use the words as printed on page 10 for our confession of faith from the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became holy. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Amen. Please be seated.
For our thank offering prayer, today, we're going to join in singing Lord of All Good as printed, starting on the bottom of page 10.
Amen.
And we pray. Almighty God, we praise and honor your holy name for your numerous acts of love and mercy on behalf of your people.
We especially thank you for the gift of your one and only Son, who has ascended to heaven and sits at your right hand.
We rejoice in the knowledge that he is our advocate before your throne, and that he intercedes for us in all our needs.
Send your Holy Spirit to the light of our minds,
give to all who serve your holy church a full measure of your grace, that Christ may be confessed, his cross uplifted, and his gospel declared as the only way to eternal life. Bless all parents that they may be wholesome examples to their children.
May they teach their children to love you, to practice virtue, to desire to pursue instruction in your word, and to serve your
hear the prayers of all who are afflicted. In the quiet hour of the night, when they are weighed down with pain, loneliness, and anxiety, bring them strength and hope by assuring them that your love endures, your power overcomes, and your presence remains constant. Thank you, Lord, for blessing the Cummins family with another family member. Continue to watch over Mom Alex and baby boy Caden. Bless the bond between mom and child, along with extended family, and also with you. Have mercy on our nation, Lord, as we deal firsthand on various fronts with the consequences and evidence of sin in this world, drought, fires, hurricanes, flooding, viruses, and more. As such things are now not new and will not be going away until the end of time, move hearts to confess you as Lord so that they can move forward from the current disasters with peace in heart while turmoil still carries on all around us and even in us, recognizing that such does not null and void the peace which can only come through you. Help us be salt and light to a hurting world, as you are such to us through your gospel, which we have heard here once again today, not only on our nation, Lord, this world as well. May those able to celebrate another year of grace be able to see your grace abundantly poured out in their life. And for the couples celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew their love in light of your love for each of them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. As we leave this hour of worship, we give all glory to Jesus.
To him be praise, honor, glory, and power, now and forever. Amen.
And we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this, remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. taking the body of our Lord and Savior, taking the blood of our Lord.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. You are indeed at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
A couple of things. If you haven't filled out a Connect card yet, please take the time to do so and then return it in the basket there on the table with the lamp. And then also take the time to say hi to someone maybe you haven't seen in a while or a new face. And as we've said, if you don't remember their name, that's okay. And if they don't remember your name, don't take offense at that. Bible study is taking place for all ages. We're at the last life of David taking place here today. Teens are looking at be prepared to answer, and Sunday school will start at 9:15 in the chapel. It's LWMS Mission Box Sunday, so take the opportunity to read more about that on the information board. Mission boxes are there where the Connect cards and bulletins are, a valuable opportunity to support mission work locally and throughout the world. So take some time to learn more about that. Connect 2030, an opportunity for fellowship and just getting together to not only for fellowship but also games and food and so forth. It's taking place next Sunday, Lord willing, the 12th, starting about 4:00 in the afternoon. We'll order some food together. That'll take place here on campus. So it's Connect 2030. Read more about it in the weekly news. It's not just for 2030s, but we're hosting it. Blood drive coming later this month on the 24th. We're getting closer to our goal of 40, about 10 more to go, and we'll hit there. So you can go to the weekly news and you can find out where to sign up. It's basically going to the Red Cross blood drive and look for the St. Mark's Lutheran Church location and sign up there. Definitely need a lot of blood with all that's been going on in our country. Truth and Love presentation, building bridges, not barriers. We're having that witness opportunity to learn more ourselves and then how we can take the gospel to others. That's coming up on the 25th of this month. Again, see the weekly news for more details. We do need an RSVP for that. And then other items in the weekly news as well. Just a note, too, just to assure you, I'm not looking to make any radical changes. But it does give us, the Lord does give us opportunity to pause and think what we do so that we don't just get caught up in doing what we've always done and realize maybe we're setting up a barrier where we don't need to be to see Christ. To help us see Christ, just 4 more minutes of your time here in the church. Our church body put together a video installing missionaries into new posts. Pretty cool. Check it out.
Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merciful Father, use us now as instruments of your love to reach out with the message of salvation to all people. And will you give faithful witness to Christ in the world that God's love may be known in all that you do and say?
I will ask God to help me.
Lucas Calise, I commission you as a missionary to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, North Liberty, Iowa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Brothers, soon you will be carrying out that gospel proclamation message. You will be sharing, teaching, telling, exhorting, encouraging with God's precious word.
Zonde, I ordain you as a minister of the church and commission you as a missionary to Chiang Mai, Thailand, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord Jesus himself sends you out with a word for your heart and a word for your mouth. It's his gospel. Let that gospel take root in your heart as you hear again each day his love for you, his forgiveness of your sins, and the righteousness that covers you.
Isaac Hayes, I commission you as a missionary to St. John on the Hillside, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Andrew Westrom, I commission you as a mission explorer to Waco, Texas, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Timothy Walsh, I commission you as a missionary to Grace of God Lutheran Church, Dix Hills, New York, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You also are just getting started, wondering what might become next, and when you get there, you might be a bit of an oddball. It's okay. Jesus himself reminds his disciples that in this world, you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. Bless those who labor in the mission fields of our nation and around the world. Grant success to their witness, that many may be freed from sin through Jesus Christ, our Lord.